In the name of our Lord Jesus, Pastor Wee-Wee, members and friends of Mount Olive Congregation, fellow Christians, have you ever had a disagreement in your family? I mean a disagreement about something fairly important. Either the husband or the wife says this, I think we're spending way too much money on Christmas gifts. We're going to have to cut down considerably this year. Or one says, I think we should sell our house right now and move to Florida. Now, when Christians have a disagreement, they have ways of settling this thing. Ordinarily, they calm down, they talk things over, they pray about it, and then usually in a matter of time, they come to a good, God-pleasing decision. But what happens when unbelievers have a disagreement? Well, then it's altogether different, and that's what we see before us in our sermon text this evening. We see two groups of people, unbelievers, shouting at each other. One group consists of the Jewish leaders, religious leaders. The other group is really only one man, just one man. That's Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Ironically, these unbelievers are having an argument about religion. The question is, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do with Jesus? And at this moment, the mob of unbelieving Jews is winning the argument, and Pilate is trying his best to defend himself against the mob. So this evening, as we conclude our midweek Lenten series on the hands of the Passion, we take a look at the hands of Pontius Pilate as he raises his hands in self-defense. Our text for this evening is recorded in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. And so when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. What shall I do then with the Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. So the story actually began on the previous night, on the evening of Maundy Thursday. The Jews had arrested the Lord Jesus and taken him to the home of Caiaphas. There they put Jesus on trial. They wasted several hours listening to the testimony of false witnesses. But then finally the chief priest got to the point. He asked Jesus a clear, simple question. "Tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus gave a clear, simple answer. "Yes, I am. And you are going to see me coming in power and glory on the last day." The Jews heard that testimony, but they refused to believe it. Now we see Jesus and the crowd, it's the morning of Good Friday, standing there in the courtroom of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus a question rather similar to the one that the chief priest had directed to him. Pilate asked a simple, direct question, Jesus, who are you? Is it true that you are a king? Is it true that you are the king of the Jews? And Jesus gave a clear, simple answer. Yes, sir, I am. But my kingdom, though, is not of this world. As a matter of fact, I myself am not of this world. I entered this world from heaven, from above, and I came into this world in order to testify to the truth. Words that come from the lips of God Himself. A clear answer to a clear question. But Pilate, like his Jewish counterparts, refused to believe what the Lord Jesus had said. So the people on the stage this evening, the Jews and the Gentiles, have a lot in common. All of them have stood face to face with the Son of God. All of them have heard testimony from the lips of Jesus Himself, testimony that He is the Son of God from heaven, and all of them have deliberately rejected the words of our Savior. They disagree on only one point, and that's the question, what are we going to do now? What should we do with Jesus? The Jewish leaders insisted that Jesus be put to death. Pilate, on the other hand, said, no, Jesus has done nothing that deserves the death penalty. At this moment, then, Pilate is on the defensive. He's trying his best to defend himself before the Jewish crowd and defend his conscience before God Almighty. And in doing so, Pontius Pilate used a series of tricks. Matthew lists them in our sermon text from Matthew 27. We'll look at each of these six tricks briefly, one by one. It was the custom that during the Passover festival, the Roman governor would release a prisoner. Apparently, the choice was pretty well wide open. The Jews could choose whichever prisoner they wanted, probably choosing a man whom they thought deserved a second chance. But this year, it would be different. This year, Pilate himself would do the choosing. Pilate was about to play trick number one, so he ordered his soldiers to go down into the prison and bring up the worst, the most notorious prisoner Pilate had in his jail. Bring up Barabbas. Now, the name Barabbas was known to all these people. Just the very name itself filled the hearts of these Jewish people with fear and terror. And Pilate was sure that if given a choice between a man who is the embodiment of evil and a man who is the embodiment of all that is good, the Jews would certainly put aside their petty jealousy and would choose Jesus, would ask Pilate to release Jesus. As a matter of fact, Pilate was really not giving the Jews a choice at all. His words were, in fact, a threat. The threat was this, if you people don't choose Jesus, then I'm going to set Barabbas free, put him back on the streets. And if you see Barabbas on the streets once again, you people better lock your doors and windows at night. Well, to his surprise, the Jews began shouting, we want Barabbas. Yet Pilate give us anybody, but not Jesus. And Pilate was surprised. We need not be surprised, however. The Bible says that the minds of natural human beings are at odds with God. Paul says that by nature, our way of thinking is enmity against God, hostile to God. So trick number one had failed. But along came trick number two. Pilate's wife had a dream, and she considered her dream to be so important that it was worthwhile interrupting her husband while he was at work. Interrupting Pilate at the moment when he was sitting there, it says, on the judgment seat. Her message was this, Pilate, have nothing to do with that just man. I have suffered many things in a dream, because of him. Now, those are some dangerous words. Dangerous because they are a half-truth. So, Mrs. Pilate, you are right. Jesus certainly is a righteous man, an innocent man. He never committed any sin in his lifetime. But Mrs. Pilate, your words are dangerous in this way. Your advice is false. If someone knows that Jesus is an innocent man, a righteous man, without any sin, and knows that his words are the truth, then it's not possible for that individual to have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself once said, "He who is not with me is against me." And Jesus will say to certain people on Judgment Day, "Because you people are lukewarm, neither for me nor against me, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." So even Pilate did not take time to consider the words of his wife. Instead, he moved on to trick number three. He asked the crowd of unbelieving Jews for advice. "What shall I do then with Jesus?" In effect, he was saying, "People, I've heard Jesus tell me that he came down from heaven and that he is speaking the truth from God himself. What do you think I should do now? Can you people give me any suggestions?" Pilate, if you ask the world for advice in spiritual matters, you're going to get the wrong advice. Because the thinking of this world and the thinking of God are exact opposites. And we're not surprised then that the mob gave this advice: "Pilate, let him be crucified." Pilate, all of us know that you Romans are good at putting people to death, and that's what we want for this man. We want death by crucifixion. Well, now Pilate's in trouble. We see him holding up his hands in self-defense as he presents trick number four. We can hear him saying, "Okay, okay, have it your way. I'll give the death sentence for Jesus. But I want everyone to know that this was not my idea. I do not want anyone pointing a finger of guilt at me, either here in this world or on any judgment day." And so he called for a bowl of water and he washed his hands publicly before that group of men. As he did that, he declared, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." And we answer, "Pilate, that do you really mean those words? Are you going to put to death the Son of God and then hold up your hands and declare, 'I am innocent'? Now, Pilate, you're worse than that Pharisee in the temple. That's the man who stood before God and dared to say, 'God, I've kept all of your commandments. As a matter of fact, I've done even more than what you demand. I am totally innocent.'" Pilate, that Pharisee did not fool God, and sir, you're not fooling him either. Pilate, when we saw you wash your hands, some of us were thinking about the washing of holy baptism. Yes, in baptism, God does wash away sin and guilt. But Pilate, your washing, your baptism is a fraud and a fake. Your baptism might perhaps wash away a few COVID germs, but it's not going to wash away your sin. And Pilate, as you washed your hands, a few of us were thinking also about what Jesus had done the night before. There in the upper room, Jesus had that pan of water and he went from one disciple to the next and washed their feet. When he came to the apostle Peter, Peter objected with the words that, "Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." And Jesus responded, "Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Jesus could well have said the same thing to Pilate: "Pilate, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You do not have the forgiveness of sins, and you will certainly not escape the punishment of eternal condemnation." Well, Pilate had one more trick in his bag. It was trick number five. He would he would try to transfer his guilt to someone else. Pilate declared, "I am innocent of the blood of this man. You see to it." And this time the crowd gave their approval. He said, yes, Pilate, that's fine with us. And may the blood of Jesus be on us and on our children. So Pilate, if there is any guilt involved with this, we will take it on ourselves. And if there's some punishment involved on Judgment Day, we ourselves will bear the punishment. And we respond, "Pilate, that trick also is not going to work. Pilate, it's not possible for you to transfer your sin and guilt and put that on the shoulders of this mob of unbelieving Jews. Pilate, it's not going to work to ask these people to act as your substitute on Judgment Day. But, Pilate, God himself has provided a substitute for us, for you and for the rest of us. And that, sir, that substitute is standing right there in front of you. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, Pilate, we sing in one of our hymns, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. We do not sing, I lay my sins on the Jewish crowd. And that brings us to one final trick. It's not mentioned here in our text in Matthew 27, but Pilate and millions of other people are going to try to use it on Judgment Day. Those who stand at the left side of our Savior, when they see that they stand condemned, will raise their hands in self-defense and say, "Jesus, I think you're making a mistake. When did we ever see you needing help and fail to give it? Didn't we always do the right things, Jesus? Didn't we always avoid doing the bad things?" And Jesus will answer by saying, "Depart from me." So the tricks in Pilate's bag are familiar. People try them every day. It's possible that you and I have tried one or the other several times ourselves. And this evening, Jesus would say to us, "Pilate, Wolfgram, the rest of us, put down your hands of self-defense and instead fold your hands and listen once again to my clear words. I told the Jewish leaders, yes, I am the Son of God, and because I am the Son of God, I have the authority to act as your judge on the last day." Now, those are words of warning, but they're also an invitation. An invitation. Jesus is saying, "Jewish brothers, you still have time. It's not yet too late. Repent and believe the gospel. God did not send me into the world to condemn the world, but rather that through me the world might be saved." And Pilate, think about the words I spoke to you. I told you that I came from heaven. I told you that I come to speak the truth. And Pilate, it's not too late for you either. Listen to the words of truth that I'm speaking to you. Pilate, repent and believe the gospel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have eternal life. And so as we stand before the Lord Jesus this evening, we join that tax collector in the pulpit and say, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." And more than that, we add our words of thanksgiving. "Jesus, thank you for coming into the world. Thank you for being my substitute. Thank you for taking my sin on yourself and dying to pay for my sins there on the cross. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing me, us, out of that huge crowd of unbelievers in our world. And now, Lord Jesus, keep all of us faithful to you until that day when we see you face to face. Amen." Please rise.
Hey, Thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.